My Father's Ashes is a true crime-inspired, fictional thriller podcast. Any resemblance to persons or events living or deceased is entirely coincidental. To hear about how to help missing people in your area, please visit www.namus.gov. My Father's Ashes is a production of Carte Blanche Art and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
So let's talk about DNA work. You've seen crime shows, right? They make it look like a snap of the fingers and bam, the DNA leads them straight to the guy, case closed. But here I am, weeks after sending my DNA and nothing. Meanwhile, over in Colorado, they're cracking cases using family DNA and location tracking. They've got this one guy pinned for two cold cases that had been dormant for 30 years. I'm left wondering if they'll uncover more. Those crimes were brutal, and it's hard to believe he only committed those two in 3 decades. Still, I'm holding out hope that my dad's name will come out clean. It's a tangled mess of information to navigate, dealing with the possibility that he may have caused harm, maybe even to a baby, my half-sister. But I'm determined to keep pushing forward. Yesterday, we received the box my brother promised, filled with my dad's belongings. Sam and I sat in the living room, treating it with care as we explored its content. William had done a meticulous job packing it, stuffing tissue paper into every nook to protect its contents. Slowly, we unwrapped those crumpled tissues to unveil what lay beneath. The first non-paper item, a strand of creamy pearls, aged and maybe tobacco stained, though I couldn't smell any lingering scent. As we continued digging, we uncovered beer steins, jewelry, heirlooms that probably belonged to our grandmother. Then came the stack of old, slightly bent photos. Names on the back matched our family tree, and as we flipped through them, scenes of buildings, vast fields, and my dad as a little kid emerged. There he was, standing near a barn, playing in grass that towered over him. We sorted through the contents in record time, breaking down the box and discovering a small golden key with a yellow plastic tag. Store for Less, Elizabeth, New Jersey. The tag's logo was chipped, the paint showing signs of age. The store name leapt out at me, conjuring memories of garages stacked high with forgotten storage units. My mind briefly wandered back to my teenage years when I grappled with a different period, a difficult period. At 12, I reached a point where I attempted to take my own life, leading to a stint at an adolescent rehabilitation facility. Following that, my therapist suggested I spend some time away from my stepdad, which led me to stay with my sister Shannon, who was expecting a baby. Her partner, known as Thumper, was involved in some questionable dealings, including acquiring abandoned storage units. We'd sift through the contents, deciding what to donate, sell, or pawn. Nowadays, there are TV shows centered around this very concept, people bidding on storage units, turning someone else's discarded items into their own treasure. I've been on both sides of this equation. My mom lost a fair share of storage units, antiques, cherished possessions from my childhood, now mostly forgotten and lost. Looking at this golden key and its faded tag, a slim possibility emerges. Could there still be a unit associated with it? Did my brother close it after my father's stroke 5 years ago? Meaning whatever matters to me is right here in this box. Or was he not even aware of it, resulting in the subsequent auction and the contents being scattered all over the United States? Sam tells me she thinks it's worth a shot, so I pick up the phone and make the call to the number on the tag. I lay out the details for the guy on the other end, the key, the tag, my father. He informs me it's an indoor facility and they provide the keys. No need for personal locks. He then asks me to locate the 3-digit number on the key, and there it is, 682. Silence hangs in the air as he checks. Yep, William O'Keefe. Actually, he pauses, you said your father's passed away? I confirm. He goes on to reveal that the account's auto-paying, possibly through the bank, and it's consistently on time. The fact that William is still keeping it up surprises me. He will have been paying a couple $100 a month for this unit, and I'm not entirely sure if it will be worth it. I ask the guy if we can visit the storage unit. You have a death certificate? If you do, you have access, he says. I jot down all the details he provides. My episode about Mandy has garnered a lot of attention, which is amazing. If nothing else comes out of this podcast and my exploration of my dad's past, I'm satisfied that more people know her story. Even if the takeaway is just how Mandy's family was initially brushed off by the authorities, it's a theme you encounter often in true crime narratives. If shedding light on the flaws in how our system handles missing teens brings out some positive change, I'm all for it. But like everything, attention has its flip side. Most of it's been uplifting, but there's been negativity too. Comments range from the innocuous, your voice is annoying, to downright cruelty, hurling insults at me. I suppose that's a measure of success, right? It's just a shame that these reactions don't pay the bills or provide any of the answers I'm seeking. So here we stand, clueless, yet holding the key, metaphorically and literally, to a storage unit in New Jersey that might just hold a piece of the puzzle I'm trying to solve.